from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate Hour. Numero dos getting underway right now as we roll through a Tuesday. We have hit, ladies and gentlemen, the Christmas Eve of football season. All right, listen, I'm real good, Corey. I'm real good. Welcome to the show. Great to have you, bud. Corey's not doing great. Corey ended the race yesterday. Great one with the roof of his car on the ground. And I'm not a big car guy. But I'm 100% sure that's not the part of the car that's supposed to be touching the ground.
Well, let me say again, as I said on the stream during the break, friends of the show didn't do real
bad
well
day.
Yesterday.
Bad day for the friends of the show yesterday between Corey, our friends Gunther and Damian Precious, an all around bad day to be a friend of the show yesterday. Corey LaJoy ending up upside down. We're going to come to that here in just a minute, as that is going to be a portion of the water cooler cheat sheet. In fact, you know what? It is 7:03 in the morning. You've got just over 56 minutes before you've got to get clocked in and locked in at the office this morning. You're going to respond to those passive aggressive emails that the boss sent way too late last night. You know, just because you're up working late, boss, doesn't mean that the rest of us are or want to be, right? So you're going to pop that email back and you're going to do everything in your power to filter it so that you don't let the bleep you that you want to filter in there shine through. And once you're done with that, because that's exhausting work, right? To be able to answer all those emails without going off like you want to. It's exhausting work. I feel like after that point, you will have earned yourself a well-deserved break. I feel like you will have earned yourself the chance to walk down the hallway to go meet Bill from Janitorial Services. Bill's a great guy. Bill's a great guy. Wants to talk a little football with you. Great chance to do it. And if you're going to talk with Bill, you don't want to sound like a fool. You want to know what's going on in the world of sports. Bill's going to say, hey, did you hear about blank? And you're going to be able to say, why, yes, Bill. Yes, I did. Because I was listening to the Rob Brown Show when the Rob Brown Show did this. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this morning and start talking sports with your coworkers. When you do, these stories will be all the rage. They are the top three stories in sports. They are your water cooler cheat sheet. Let's get going with item number one. A few weeks ago on the show, during the first week of the NFL's preseason, We had a conversation on the show. That conversation had to do with the NFL's new kickoff rules. The conversation we had was Rob Brown saying, after watching this thing play out, after seeing how it just kind of looks with guys who, by and large, though not exclusively, have never done this type of kickoff before, I wouldn't be shocked if the NFL ultimately moves the touchback from the 30-yard line, where it has been established this year, to the 35-yard line moving forward. Now, I said at the time that I did not think it would be this year. I think they would go through 1 year of just letting it be and seeing where the numbers are going to play out. And I still think that is true. Though after 2 weeks of preseason, we've got a little bit of an idea. The average starting field position after the full weekend of exhibition games played this past weekend is the Patriots-Falcons line, the 28.3-yard line. That is where kickoffs are averaging, or field position is averaged after kickoffs this year. That is up 4.4 yards from this same point last season. That has already sparked some talk that teams might just opt to kick it deep through the end zone once the regular season starts, trading the starting spot after touchbacks at the 30-yard line. Effectively, if you've got a kicker who can boot this thing through the back of the end zone consistently for touchbacks, you are effectively surrendering less than 2 yards to ensure that there is no kickoff return set up against you, which seems like a pretty fair trade. Now, again, 3 weeks on the show, 2 weeks on the show, right before the regular season kicked off, we had this discussion. And I said, my expectation is that the average starting field position is going to be somewhere between the 28 and 30-yard line on kickoff returns. And if that is the case, it would not shock me to see down the line the NFL move the touchback line from the 30 up to the 35. Why? Because the new rules were designed with the idea that they would increase the number of kickoff returns. They would increase the number of times the ball is brought out, but also minimize the amount of full speed collisions that would happen on a return. Effectively, you want to make kickoff returns safer, but also more frequent. Well, based on what we're seeing so far, that's going to be the right call. However, the NFL yesterday said that they do not anticipate moving the touchback spot to the 35. You will recall that the 35-yard line was the original spot proposed for the new kickoff rules by the NFL's competition committee. The owners shot that down. The owners moved it back on a one-year trial basis back in March to the 30-yard line. Don Aponte, the NFL's chief football administrative officer, said moving the touchback line this season, quote, would not be likely. The way that we passed this and discussed it with the competition committee, as well as membership at large, was really about continuing to evaluate. It is a one-year rule change, so we anticipate to evaluate throughout this entire season. Now, so that we are clear, I do not think the NFL, after 1 year, is going back to the old kickoff, especially if we end this year with a decrease in injuries to players on kickoff return. If that number goes down even a little, the NFL will indeed maintain this kickoff rule. The only question is, will the touchback change from the 30 to the 35? Right now, the answer is going to be yes, because I think wild teams in the preseason are likely having their kickers not aim for touchbacks, predominantly so that their kickoff return teams and their kickoff coverage teams can get some work, can get some opportunity to practice against a different team in a live full speed environment. When we get to the regular season, I think every kickoff, I think every kick's going to be a touchback. Honestly, like there are at this point very few kickers who aren't going to be able to get this thing at least to the back of the end zone, if not outright through it. So I think with a few rare exceptions, when we get to the regular season, and I told you this a couple of weeks ago, and the new average just kind of proves that point. I think when we get to week one, the kickoff game is going to be, and I honestly do not believe that this is intentional. The NFL doesn't want to intentionally make their product more boring. If it is a byproduct of making it safer, they're going to go with it. But if you are telling me as a head coach that I am sacrificing 1 yard, 1.5 yards of field distance against the average return in order to make sure that there is no return, yeah, I'm booting a touchback every time. I would not be shocked, Lonzo, in week one, if over 90% of kicks are touchbacks on initial kickoffs with the new rules. And I would not be shocked if the competition committee reverses this decision sometime in the regular season and does allow the touchbacks to go back to the 35-yard line as was initially intended.
More than likely, yes. I am curious. I wonder if the NFL sent out a memo saying, hey, test every part of this during the preseason, or if coaches themselves decided, hey, let's see how we handle it if someone kicks here. Let's see how we, you know, if we kick there, how are we going to cover it, that sort of thing. And then when the regular season happens, like you said, just everybody kicks it and gets a touchback.
Yeah, the preseason, as it is, as we have mentioned a time or two, not for casuals. The preseason is not for casuals. As I have mentioned a number of times, the preseason is entirely about giving coaches the opportunity to evaluate their team as thoroughly as possible. And one of those evaluations is not just personnel, but it's also strategy. It's also tactics. It's also a formula for game operations. It's all these different things. I have no doubt that coaches have been working on a little bit of everything and everything, right? Like Sean McVay last week kind of gave the game a little bit when he was talking about how the Rams were approaching kickoffs. And that's effectively what he said was, you know, where we've got a couple of things that we're working on, moving guys into different spots on the field for the initial run-up, having different personnel groups for the different kickoffs that we want to do. It is absolutely something I think coaches are working on, and I do not think it's going to matter, because at the end of the day, while the analytics nerds are the chagrin of many a sports fan, they're also hugely valuable to coaches. And if they come in and they say, coach, if you kick a touchback, they get it at the 30. And if you don't, they average at the 28.3 yard line. So it cost you 1.7 yards to just touch it back and make sure they don't pop a return out across midfield on you. I would not be shocked if we end up seeing a lot of touchbacks when the regular season gets here. All right, very quickly, let's run to item number two.
My thing is, okay.
All right, we're just going to roll with it. Item number two, the Firestarter 400 took place yesterday at Michigan International Speedway. It was a delayed race from Sunday, but there was rain throughout the area. They were able to run 51 laps on Sunday, had to get to 100 to make it official. They did not, so they picked it up yesterday. And Tyler Reddick ended up getting the win yesterday, was able to outrun William Byron, Ty Gibbs, Kyle Busch, getting himself a top five yesterday, and Michigander Brad Keselowski to the green, white, or to the black and white checkers. There were two overtime periods here. William Byron did put Ty Reddick under threat on a restart, but Reddick was able to hold him off down through the stretch. Friend of the show, Corey LaJoy, did not have himself a great day, unfortunately, as towards the end of the race, contact with another driver with his front right ended up sending him spinning down into the infield. When he crossed over and lost the angling of the bank, his car flipped, rolled on its hood, and slid down the backstretch. LaJoy was bumped from the race after that. A couple of other guys, Joey Logano, caught a DNF as he had to bring his car to the garage. But Ty Reddick gets himself the win and a spot. Not that he didn't already have one, because I believe it's his third win on the season. He is on his way to the playoffs. And finally, a very quick item number three. Schedule of an upcoming baseball game isn't ordinarily something that goes on the water cooler cheat sheet, but it will here. The Atlanta Braves, coming off taking two out of the three on the road at the Angels, taking three out of the four on the road against the San Francisco Giants, a team that has won five of its last seven and six of his last eight. They're back home. Now, it's not just that they're back home. It's Hoomst. They're back home against the Atlanta Braves, set up for a three-game series against divisional rivals and divisional leaders, the Philadelphia Phillies. And that starts this evening, 7:20 at Truist Park. The good news, it's at the house. The good news, if the Braves can take two out of the three, they will not only decrease the lead the Phillies have in the division, they will likely, at least tonight, increase the lead they have over the New York Mets for the third wild card spot. The bad news, you're catching ace from Philly. Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, Chris Sanchez go 1-2-3 against Reynaldo Lopez, Max Fried, and Spencer Schwellenbach for the Braves over the next 3 days. I put it on the cheat sheet because let me make it real simple and then we'll go to break. If the Braves win zero or one of these three, I think the season is officially a write-off for me. If the Braves win two of the three, I'll maintain cautious optimism. If the Braves sweep the Phillies, it'll tell me the Phillies ain't all they're cracked up to be, and maybe there's a chance. This is going to be the most anticipated and watched Braves series of the season. All right, we're back after this. Let's talk a little Big Ten football when we return on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo with you here on the show today. Let us, ladies and gentlemen, talk a little more college football here on the show this AM. Diving right in. Let's start with the Big Ten. Lonzo and I have had an interesting conversation going effectively this entire offseason. And that conversation has been about the future of Ohio State head coach Ryan Day. Lonzo has maintained for some time now that in the eyes of Buckeye Nation, that if Ryan Day fails to defeat Michigan this year, whether it's because of Harbaugh or just because fourth time's a charm, if he fails to defeat the Michigan Wolverines this year, that Ryan Day may very well be on the hot seat if he is not outright removed from that position. A stance that I have told Lonzo I think is absolutely ridiculous. Even for a fervent, passionate fan base, a rabid fan base, I think that would be a ridiculous decision to make by the administrative offices of the Ohio State University. Yesterday, I was sitting in on BetQL's You Better You Bet alongside Pat Boyle. Now, my guy, Patty B, is a big Notre Dame guy and a big Midwestern football guy. And he said when I brought that up, I cited the great one on the nationally syndicated You Better You Bet last night, or yesterday afternoon, I guess I should say. I said, you know, my executive producer, Lonzo, back in Greenville, South Carolina, is a big horse chestnut guy. And he has said that if Ryan Day fails this year to beat Michigan, which to me also indicates at least a playoff berth as the Big Ten champion, I might even extend that to say, make a deep playoff run. But he has said a number of times that if Ryan Day fails to defeat Michigan this year, that not only will he be on the hot seat, but Ryan Day could be removed as the head coach of the Buckeyes at the end of the season. I told Pat Boyle, I find that premise ridiculous. I find that that premise silly for a guy who is, you looked up the record the other day, Lonzo. How many total games has Ryan Day lost? Like 8 in total over his entire time there?
Yeah, it was 8, but multiples of those are to the same team, though.
Multiples being, what was it, 3 of them have been to the
same believe
team?
It's 3, but it's like 3 in a row. So, I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it is 3 in a row. But it's 3. It's 3 out of 8 combined losses as the head coach of the Horse Chestnuts. And so I said, Pat Boyle, I find this ridiculous. You've spent more time broadcasting in the Midwest than I have. Is it? And Pat Boyle said, Rob Brown, it's actually not a foreign thought up here. In Horse Chestnut, well, he's not there anymore, but where he came from in Horse Chestnut country. He said it's actually not that outlandish of a concept to a lot of Buckeye fans because that game may very much matter more than any other game that Ohio State will play, including potentially playoff games, to which I said, I'll never understand it, right? I dislike my rival, but I've asked you guys the question before. If I could guarantee you a win, guarantee you, not guarantee you that you will lose any other games, but guarantee you one win, I could guarantee you a win over your rival, or I could guarantee that you would win the national championship. Which of those two guarantees would you take? If I was the college football god, and I said, you may right now select one of two things. You can either have a beatdown of your rival and every other game is a toss-up, or your rival game is a toss-up, but I guarantee you a national championship. I was shocked and frankly a little appalled at the number of you that said you would take a guaranteed win over the rival ahead of a guaranteed national championship game. It blew my mind then, it blows my mind now. But Pat Boyle said that is the case. Here's my question. Lonzo, if Ryan Day defeats Michigan this year, but the Oregon Ducks win the Big Ten, they win it in the bowl game, they win it in the Big Ten championship game, they edge out Ohio State, let's say, to a final score of, I don't know, let's make it close, 24-27, Ducks win the Big Ten championship. What of Ryan Day then?
Well, he beat Michigan. The question is, in that scenario, I believe Ohio State and Michigan in October meet each other in the regular season. So are they splitting it? Or are they losing to Oregon twice?
No, however it plays out, let's say that Ohio State goes 11-1. Let's say Oregon goes 11-1. Ohio State beats Oregon. It's Oregon's only loss. They rematch in the Big Ten, and Oregon beats them in the Big Ten championship. Is Ryan Day safe? He's earned a bowl berth at that point, or a playoff berth at that point. It will not be the Big Ten championship berth. It will not be the auto bye. You will have to play the opening game likely in Columbus. Is Ryan Day safe at that point?
Yeah, because you beat Michigan. You're still in the playoffs. You got your fans an extra game to be in the horseshoe, no matter how cold it will be at that point, which will be an advantage to Ohio, depending on who they play. So, yeah, it's about Michigan. It just is. I mean, there's no, unless you're in it or born into it, there's no way to completely describe it to someone who doesn't get it.
I mean, again,
I believe that the Michigan people feel the same way.
I'm sure that they do. It's never going to stop being absolutely shocking to me. It's never going to not be mind-blowing to me.
Well, you've heard here that there are Clemson fans who think the same thing about Carolina and the opposite. I mean, the hate of a true rivalry, it goes beyond anything that happens after.
I mean, I don't get it. If I got a coach that's gotten me knocking on the door, not just knocking on the door, but knocking on the door and reloading to knock again every single year, I can't see the world you move on from that. I guess I just won't get it. That being said, we also yesterday did a pair of interviews with college football gambling experts, and we got their picks for conference champions for all of the major conferences. And when we come back, I wanted to get into the Ohio State conversation because I want to get into the Big Ten conversation, of which Ohio State is the primary focus right now. But I also want to get into the conversation about the Ducks, because we asked three people yesterday, professional sports handicappers, who put their money where their mouth is, who they are taking to win the Big Ten. And while they justified it in other directions, all three of them said they're betting the Ducks to win the Big Ten in their first year in the conference. So, is that on the table? Is that in the cards? Is that a possibility? How does this conference shape up? We'll talk about that when we come back. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the Fan Upstate. 71307 is the text line. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N, Fan, F-A-N. We'll read them on the air. Texter says, that's right, great one. O-H.
I-O.
Okay. Listen to the just raw enthusiasm and energy dripping off of.
If you were watching the stream, I was over there working on setting up the next bumper music, and I wasn't close to the microphone. I apologize. I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to yell because that goes against my character here on this fine program.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I don't have energy here. I don't have to.
Fair enough.
Rob is the energy.
Texter said, perspective here, gentlemen. I grew up in Minnesota. I would take the Gophers winning the national championship, which will never happen, over them beating Wisconsin any day of the week. See, that's
okay. No offense.
That's more in line with what I think.
No offense, but it's Minnesota, dude. I mean, it's Minnesota.
Yeah, you just don't care like they care.
It's totally different. By the way, your way of thinking is more logical, and a national championship is more meaningful overall, without a doubt. But here's the thing. If you beat Michigan, chances are you're going to be ranked pretty high and have a better chance at getting a national championship. If you lose to Michigan, you're not going to vie for one.
This is why I set up the hypothetical with, if I guaranteed you a win and it was either the rivalry game or the national championship, guarantee you a win. Result of the rivalry game is irrelevant. If that game's up in the air, if you don't take a guarantee win of the rival, you're guaranteed a natty, and you're telling me the Buckeyes would take Michigan, I don't get it.
Here on the Rob Brown Show, we do not deal exactly with the other person's hypotheticals. It is our job to wreck it. Dude, you wreck everyone I have too. So you can try that. But
that's because mine are good.
Uh-huh.
Mine are spot on, 100% accuracy and efficiency every time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Every time.
You're right. I'm lesser than, but that's fine. That's what Withson Ands do.
Texter said, can you name any other fan base in college football who would take a win over their rival instead of a national championship? That is bat poop crazy talk.
All right. We have heard Clemson fans and South Carolina fans say that. So, I mean, we have heard that.
We have heard a couple of South Carolina fans say it. Far from the norm, though. I think the majority of Carolina fans, when we asked this question, said we would take the natty 99 out of 99 times.
All right, so I'm gathering from your criticisms that you think that means something, and your criticisms mean nothing to an Ohio State or Michigan fan.
Oh,
so,
I know.
Because you don't. I'm going to do what one percenters do, so you should be familiar. You just don't get it.
I mean, you are correct. Texas said, Auburn grad here. Give me a natty over beating Bama any day. Yeah, I really think, and I guess you can take pride in this, though I kind of feel great one.
You're forcing me to be arrogant here, because I am not. But if I come from a place of confidence, it sounds arrogant. That's just my voice. I can't help it. But when's the last time Auburn won a national championship? It's been a long time. And how familiar are you with national championships, Auburn? Not very. So when's the last time you vied for an SEC championship? Been a while. Cam Newton comes to mind, and maybe it happened after that too, but I don't think so. So, and Cam's been in the NFL and retired. So it's been a while.
They, of course, played for one in 2013, but turned away by Jameis Winston that year.
Dude, you know how long ago that was?
Well, you know, only two teams play for a national championship every year, and there's 163 of them now?
I'm aware of that, Rob. Thank you.
Playing for one once a decade is actually pretty impressive.
Is it?
I wouldn't expect a Chiefs fan to understand that.
It's the same sport, but different levels. But okay.
How
long did the Chiefs go before they actually were back in the Super Bowl? It was like Super Bowl II to like, you know, recently. So that was a pretty good drought. Just saying.
Well, it's a pretty good drought. All right. So let's talk a little bit more Big Ten. We had three college football guests yesterday on You Better You Bet on the BetQL network. I was guest hosting for Nick Costos yesterday. And in the conversation that we had with these guests, we were asking the question. Now, let me preface this with, who you are betting on to do a thing and who you believe will do the thing can be different things. There are reasons to make a bet on a team that isn't necessarily the team that you think will do the thing. One of those reasons is there's a big profit attached if you got it wrong. There's a big profit attached if you guessed incorrectly and a team you didn't think would do it does, which happens all the time, even to those of us that know ball. But we had three handicappers on yesterday. All three of them said that they were betting Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks to win the Big Ten in their first year in the conference. I asked why. I said, yep, hold up. Ohio State's the top-ranked team coming in. Ohio State seems to be the consensus squad. The Buckeyes seem to be the team that everybody outside of you guys is rolling with. Why are you going with the Ducks? And there were two answers. Number one, the Ducks have the best betting value. You're getting them at longer odds than Ohio State, despite the fact that the win-loss totals are, I believe, even. Ohio State's maybe one higher than Oregon's, but I believe they are even right now. And number two, and this is what I'm really interested in, two of the three had the same take. Two of the three had the take that you lost a lot from the Buckeye program from last year. What right now about this program excites you? What right now about this program do you look at and go, okay, that's where the juice is coming from? You don't have a Marvin Harrison Jr. You've transferred quarterbacks. You lost a good chunk of the defense. What is it about the Buckeyes that got you all hot and bothered under the collar to put this team into your surefire Big Ten championship slot? And the more I went and looked and thought about it and read it, I think Ryan Day has arguably the strongest Ohio State roster he has had during his time here, and also the most inexperienced. And that is where a lot of people are getting nervous, I think, Lonzo.
All right. By the way, I am very concerned about Oregon as well. I don't think that's a bad take at all. And I agree with everything that was said. I mean, there are a bunch of ifs going on with Ohio State. I am shocked that they're ranked as high as they are. I'm happy with it, but I am shocked because you have a lot of transfers, and we've seen like what Florida State was able to do last year. We don't know what Ohio State's able to do with it. They've had one or two before, but usually it's been someone stepping up that was waiting in the wings, and it's not that case this time. Also, something to factor in, new offensive coordinator. And how is that going to affect things? Because Ryan Day has been doing it for all the time he's been there, and now you got Chip Kelly in at offensive coordinator. So, I don't know. I don't know. I believe that Ohio State's going to win the Big Ten, but I think Oregon is their biggest test, not Michigan.
I completely agree with that. And I'll go one step further and tell you, great one, I think Michigan's fallen off this year. I do not think the Wolverines are a contender this year. I think they lost too much. I think there's too much drama going around Sherrone Moore right now. Now, there is the intangible in this case being that the boys love Sherrone. You saw that last year when he stepped up into that interim HC role when Jim Harbaugh was serving the second of his two suspensions last year. When Moore took over, the fellas were hyped up, but there's also the element of they were hyped up because it was different. They were hyped up for Jim as well as Sherrone Moore. There was a lot more to it than just, we love this guy, but they very clearly do love this guy, so they are going to strap up and play for him. I just look at a team that lost a lot, including, by the way, and this was what I asked on BetQL yesterday. Last year, I go back to the Penn State game. I go back to the Ohio State game. I go back to a handful of games. Do you want to know why people were down? Not everybody, but a lot of us were down on J.J. McCarthy as an NFL quarterback. It is because last year, when things got tough for the Wolverines, what did Michigan do? They gave the ball to Blake Corum, and they said, go get him, Tiger. Take those tree trunk thighs you got and carry us to victory. And Blake Corum did that. Do they have that guy this year? Is there a guy coming back this year? Aside from that, who the hell's replacing J.J. McCarthy, right? Like, who's stepping up and coming anywhere close to replacing the cat that's in that role. I don't think Michigan knows at this point. I don't think they have an eyeball on that. No, by the way, just in case you're paying attention, speaking of the Michigan Wolverines, we've talked about the fact that they've got a deal with Ohio State. We've talked about the fact that they've got a deal with Oregon in the same season. Who does Michigan have September 7th to open the season? The University of Texas, the Longhorns. They're coming up to Ann Arbor. That is going to be a test right out of the gate. That is going to be a test right out of the gate, a week two showdown between last year's national champions and one of last year's national semifinalists. I think Michigan's at the best the 9-3 team next year, because I do not see them beating Ohio State. I frankly don't see them beating Oregon, and that game against Texas feels like an L as far as I am concerned. I don't think Michigan is coming back this year. I think the Big Ten is a showdown between Oregon and Ohio State. As Lonzo pointed out, they get each other mid-October in a regular season showdown. Here's the interesting thing. Ohio State has Michigan, Oregon, and Penn State. Michigan has Texas, Ohio State, and Oregon. Lonzo, Oregon has Ohio State. They didn't catch Michigan. They didn't catch Penn State. They catch Washington. But let's be real, that ain't the same game this year. Oregon will be in the Big Ten championship game if for no other reason than the other two biggest teams, Ohio State and Michigan, both have more difficult schedules with more marquee games. And I don't think James Franklin's the guy that can win a big game, or else Penn State could shock you because they got a friendly schedule as well. Penn State effectively has Michigan and Ohio State, but not the third big game like Ohio State and Michigan do. Because of that, I think you're getting a Buckeyes-Oregon national championship game. The interesting thing will be, and obviously we'll have to wait a little into the season to find out if this matters, great one. The Ducks are going to be a lot fresher than the Buckeyes will coming off of that Michigan game.
Oh, for sure. This is the most interesting the Big Ten's been in a while. I know people getting upset about adding teams. The teams that the Big Ten added were pretty good. I mean, obviously, you right away get the number three ranked team coming into this season. This is going to, this could shake up very strange compared to what it has in the past years. That would be really weird for Oregon to come in and win the Big Ten in the first year. Can you imagine having to say Big Ten champion Oregon? Yeah. I mean, it just sounds so weird.
It does. It does. If they win it, can we change the name to the Pac-12? I mean, you got enough schools in there.
Well, it's not. What does the Pac stand for? Pacific.
All right, we'll change it. Yeah. Yes. Like the Atlantic Coast
I know.
With notable members Stanford and Cal. Pretty spectacular. College football's the best, man. It's the best. Hey, here's my question. What if Ryan Day beats Michigan? What if he beats Penn State? And what if he does drop the Big Ten championship game to Oregon? Does Oregon enter anywhere close to the Michigan levels of hate at that point?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, let's do a sports flash.
Tyler Reddick has picked up another win in the rain-delayed race at Michigan International Speedway yesterday. Martin Truex Jr. got loose with six laps to go, with Reddick leading the restart, a lead he held through two overtime periods on the second. Ross Chastain wrecked, ending the race. William Byron finished second with Ty Gibbs, Kyle Busch, and Brad Keselowski wrapping up the top five. The Atlanta Braves begin a three-game series with the division-leading Phillies this evening at 7:20 at Truist Park. The Braves' Ronaldo Lopez will make his first start after returning from a rehab stint from a forearm injury. And make sure you tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Deez will get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun. It's all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.